This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We're 100 days away from the start of the college football season, and Greg McElroy has carved out some time to talk with us on X at Greg McElroy, conveniently co-host of Mac and Cube with Cole Kubelik. In Birmingham on Jocks, and of course, ESPN college football analyst and national championship quarterback. That's worth mentioning. Greg, how's it going? Thanks for joining.
Nate, thanks for having me, guys. Hope you are well.
Yes, sir. I have to start here. Alabama, how do you feel about your alma mater heading into this year? Obviously, some questions at the quarterback position. Ty Simpson, Austin Mack. Defense still looks like it's put together. Offensive line seems to be put together. But we know quarterback's the most important position on the field. How do you feel about your team heading into next season?
Well, I feel pretty good about them. You know, I mean, I think Kalen DeBoer, a lot of people will point to last year's inconsistencies, and there were a lot of highs and there were a lot of lows. I mean, this is a team that ran LSU out of their own building late in the year. This is a team that went and handled Georgia and played as well as they could possibly play in the first half of that game. And it was pretty amazing, honestly, when you look at just how good that team was and at the times that they were. But there were also some low moments. And I think that kind of went into the aspect of, you see a team is kind of figuring out their coach and a coach is trying to figure out his team. You know what I mean? I think that there was at times, I'm not saying necessarily a disconnect, but which buttons to press when. And I think there's a process of feeling that out as a coach, and I think feeling it out from a player's perspective of how do I get the most out of my coach? How does my coach get the most out of me? So I think last year was a lot of trial and error. As a result, there was tons of swings in performance. But at the same time, I think I'm really bullish on what they have back. But part of that has to do with the fact that everybody in the SEC is kind of has question marks.
Sure.
It's not like there's that guaranteed team you point to. It's like, oh yeah, they can't miss this year. Every single team, and I think the win totals that Vegas released today or yesterday reflect that. There's three teams sitting at 9.5 wins, and everybody else is beneath that, which is kind of rare considering where the SEC's been in recent years.
Yeah, now what I hear from a lot of Alabama fans is regardless of the quarterback situation and the offense sort of coming into their own as the season goes along, there is this idea that they can lean on that defense. There's a lot of guys returning. Deontay Lawson at the linebacker position, Quay Rousseau, stud, Keon Sabb in the secondary. Do you sort of echo those sentiments that I have heard from other Alabama fans that this defense really is the real deal?
Well, I think the defense came such a long way from, and it was a complete scheme adjustment from what Nick Saban ran, which, not to get into the weeds, but it was kind of a man type of defense to where they went last year, where it was pretty much zone defense kind of across the board. That's completely different. Now, I think most people would say, oh, how different can it be? It's just defense. Well, from a technique standpoint, from what the guys were recruited to do, from a comfort standpoint, the reps that they had running man versus what they were trying to do now in a new scheme, it was very, very different. And I think it started to pay dividends as the season went along. I mean, they had some ups and downs early in the season. I mean, the low point being Vanderbilt, where Vandy, I think, scored 40 or whatnot, and they couldn't stop him, and they had no answer for him whatsoever. But things settled down as the season went along, and that defense played really well down the stretch. Now, the offense had ebbs and flows, but the defense was steady. And I think they have really good personnel and good leadership on that side of the ball as well, with established guys that have played a lot of football. So last year's group two, they were outrageously banged up. I mean, they're just crazy thin. If you look at their numbers in the portal going into last season, when Nick Saban retired, the portal opened up and they lost 46 players. And that's impossible to backfill. I mean, no matter how well you recruit and how good your players are, I mean, you're going to get thin in a hurry, and you have an injury or two here and there and you're dead. And I think they kind of battled through that and kind of were playing their best football at the end of the season as a result of some of the trials and tribulations the first eight games presented. So I think that is definitely going to be their calling card, is defense and run the football. But like I said, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, how their quarterback will play, and how the offense, if they can create some consistency and not make mistakes, then they have as good a chance as anybody to win the SEC.
So you brought up the SEC win totals, and I did find them interesting. Nobody at 10.5. Obviously, in the Big Ten, you have three teams at 10.5. But the 9.5 teams, you have Alabama, Georgia, and Texas. 8.5, LSU, Ole Miss, Tennessee. And then you have Auburn, Mizzou, South Carolina, A&M at 7.5. And then I think a couple of wild cards at 6.5 in Florida and Oklahoma. Who, when you looked at these, you know, win totals, anybody overvalued or undervalued in your opinion?
Well, the team that I think is undervalued is Oklahoma. They made major upgrade at quarterback. They went and got a new offensive coordinator in Ben Arbuckle. And I think that position in particular, the quarterback and coordinator working in tandem, is just so important for college football. And John Mateer, the quarterback, kind of set the world on fire last year at Washington State. And I think if you look at what Cam Ward did, Cam Ward was at Washington State, transferred to Miami last year, was one of the best players in the country. And once he was finally surrounded with a great supporting cast, people started to realize that. He ends up going number one overall in the NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans, and was in the mix for the Heisman Trophy really from start to finish all of last year. So I think John Mateer's growth and people finally figuring out what he's capable of, he's got his coordinator from Washington State there with him. They've made some great portal additions, and them sitting there at 6.5. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a brutal schedule, extremely difficult schedule, and they're going to have to win some coin flip games. But that's a team that I think is being slept on kind of universally, and based on what they've returned and the continuity that they have on the defensive side and some of the personnel that they have on both lines of scrimmage, that should be a tough out for a lot of teams this year.
All right, so Greg, as a quarterback, you know that position like the back of your hand. I'm curious what you think about the crop of quarterbacks in college football this year. You have some returners and some guys we expect to be good and potential NFL draft picks. Cade Klubnik, you look at a guy like Garrett Nussmeier. That's sort of the crop I'm talking about, returners that we expect a lot from. But there's a lot of unproven talent around the country. You look at Dante Moore at Oregon. You look at, we'll see what Lenora Sellers can do for another year. What do you think at large about this quarterback crop going into the 25-26 season?
Well, there's a lot of expectations, but there's also a lot of unknown. I mean, I think the best example of that is probably Arch Manning, right? I mean, everybody is excited about what Arch is going to do, and I couldn't be more bullish on his development and his pedigree and how Steve Sarkisian and the Texas Longhorns have kind of brought him along. He got some playing time last year, had a couple starts, but most of his production statistically was against lower tier defenses. Now he's going to have to go up against the best in the country. So I think that's going to be something worth watching, is that, you know, Arch Manning and several of these guys, yes, they have tons of talent and they have, a huge, huge opportunity in front of them. But there's a lot of unproven guys that are just going to have to go out there and do it. And then you have some guys that, if we were to have this conversation last year, I'd tell you that Carson Beck's one of the best quarterbacks in the country, if not the best quarterback in the country. And last year was kind of an up and down year for Georgia offensively, and his performance was both up and down. And I also think, too, I mean, Carson Beck now has kind of taken over for that Cam Ward spot at Miami, and he's got a great supporting cast. So I think we could be in a situation a year from now where there's guys that have proven themselves that are top tier guys, and there are also potentially guys that maybe fell out of favor in the eyes and the court of public opinion, but still have all the talent and the game that you could possibly want and could find their way to the top of the NFL draft. So I think it's a great year for quarterbacks. This past year was about as, I don't want to say as bad as it gets, but as many questions as it could possibly get from an NFL perspective. Right. But this year, I think you got a bunch of gems that are kind of waiting to kind of see what the pecking order might be next April.
All right. Now, looking around the country, I'm very curious your thoughts. There's a lot of people that are bullish in the Big Ten on Penn State, and they're one of those teams when the win totals were published, I think is Oregon and Ohio State. They're all 10.5 when it comes to their season win totals. But Drew Aller as a quarterback, you bring back that running back room, deny Dennis Sutton, a really good defensive end. The defense is usually good there, and they hold up in the Big Ten. It feels like people are drinking the Kool-Aid of Penn State because of all the returners they have. Where are you on Penn State after a year, a really successful year in the college football playoff semifinal?
Well, I think if you're going into the season trying to figure out, all right, what are the question marks, right? And I think a lot of us, and those of us that have played and or coached, everybody doesn't necessarily look at, oh, we're great here, we're great here, we're great here. They kind of look at, all right, what can get us? Like, what's our Achilles heel? What should we be concerned about? And that's how coaches are wired, and I think that's how most players are wired. I think Penn State, along with Clemson, have the fewest question marks. A lot of the people that are back have proven it on a very high level. A lot of the people that are back have shown us with playoff experience that they've been in that spotlight and in many cases have performed. So I think Penn State is one of those teams that if you're looking for question marks, they have very few. But they're also one of those teams that has yet to really get over the hump against some of their peers there in the Big Ten. And this is one of those years too. And if you look at Michigan 2 years ago, Ohio State this past year, the teams in the Big Ten have kind of, it's almost like they've circled years. And this is that year that's been circled for Penn State.
Yes.
They have a ton of guys that are back. They have a ton of veteran players that have played at a high level that have all played together. There's great continuity. Their starter at quarterback is going into year three. They have running backs that have been playing now for 4 years, tandem running backs that are both excellent. Their offensive line should be rock solid. And defensively, they've been good for a long time. And they just added Ohio State's defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, to call the play. So that's a big coup as well. So I think they have everything that you could possibly want. Now it's just about exercising those demons and beating a team like Ohio State and winning those games against top-tier competition because they have not always performed very well in those big games. So hopefully they can buck that trend, but that hasn't really been the case for James Franklin in his time there in college and in State College.
All right. Now, Greg, notice I started talking some ball because we still have some things to iron out when it comes to all the extracurriculars, the off-season conversations, NIL, transfer portal, all that nonsense. But your former coach, according to multiple reports, Nick Saban is going to be on this federal commission looking over this presidential commission from President Trump regarding college athletics. What did you make of that? And when you talk about your former coach, how much do you believe in him to be one of the biggest change makers when it comes to sort of getting everything under control in college football?
Well, I mean, who's more equipped than Nick Saban to speak on where the college football world is right now? I mean, I don't think there is anybody. I mean, the guy lived it every day for 17 years and has seen the transition and has seen the change and has seen both the good and bad that comes with the new world that we're currently living in. And it's going to be interesting, I think, to see exactly what change can actually be enacted, because I think that'll be very difficult because there's such fear of litigation and so many challenges that are being had in the courts and, you know, who wants to do what and can they get sued for this and all that. But, I mean, our only chance of maintaining where we're at in college football and hopefully settling things down is with people at the federal level getting involved. That's the only chance we have. And by the way, I don't think college football is broken by any stretch. Like, you choose to consume it however you want to consume it. If you want to consume it every day for 365 days a year, then you're probably going to be a little disgruntled with where we're at as a sport. But if you want to watch the play and the quality on the field, it's as good as it's ever been. So I think it all kind of depends on your perspective as a fan. I think we are tremendously healthy when we get between the white lines on game day. But I do think that we have to be smart about what changes we might make in the college football world, because if it becomes too unrecognizable to the fans that have supported the sport for generations, then we could run the risk of losing some people that have been remarkably loyal for a very long time. But at the same time, I mean, I think progress can be good too. And I'm optimistic about the changes that could be had in the playoff. I'm optimistic about the changes that could be had when it comes to NIL structure and kind of putting a salary cap on things, because I don't want to cap anybody's earning potential. But at the same time, I also don't want teams to have an unfair advantage because they have four times more living alumni than other teams that are trying to be competitive. So I just want to be equal across the board and try to create competitive balance. And if we can do that, then we'll be in great shape as a sport.
All right, now, purely hypothetical situation. If I asked you, Greg McElroy, to enact an executive order and you had that type of power, what would be that executive order? What would be the one thing right now that you think is the most pressing issue that you would make sure you fixed if you could do it tomorrow?
I would make alterations to the transfer portal.
Right.
Because I think that sometimes as a kid, and I was a kid, I played college football at 19. I'm sure there were moments in which I was disgruntled. Like, of course, like, who isn't? Like, if you're not starting and you know, competing, then you're going to probably at times be a little disgruntled as a player. And as a result, when I was in school, if you decide to transfer or go elsewhere, it was somewhat prohibitive because you would lose a year of eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the guys need to lose a year of eligibility. I don't like that. I think coaches leave on several different occasions, and I feel like, you know, if they're allowed to move, then players should, in a way, be allowed to move as well. But in saying that, when you look at guys that are playing 5 years of football and playing for four different schools, I don't think that's good for anyone's development either. So I would shrink the transfer portal window. I would put it in May. I would start at May 1st through May 31st, and the transfer portal could at that point be used the way it was intended to be used, to allow teams to backfill their roster if they're short at a specific spot that can go and get a guy out of the portal. And it would make guys think twice about, well, can I earn a starting job in 3 months before we kick off? So maybe they'd be more inclined to stay where they're at and acknowledge that the grass is not always greener, and that the best place for my development might actually be at the place that I'm currently at. So I think that would be the biggest thing that I would adjust. I also think, too, that if we reemphasized high school recruiting, that would be good for the sport and the sport's health as well. High school players can arrive in January, and if transfer portals players can't arrive until May, that I think could be beneficial, and more teams would say, you know what, we're better off getting the high school kid now, so let's go recruit high school kids, and then we can backfill with veterans that are on their second chance a little later in the year if we don't have the numbers that we need in certain spots. So I think that would be the adjustment that I would make, and I think that would be beneficial for the sport.
And I like that because, you know, something that has been de-incentivized, whether it's basketball or football, it's high school recruiting, because those guys can leave, and if they don't play early, they feel a type of way, and they find and, you know, explore their options. But the high school recruiting and the high school recruit, like, I went to the University of Memphis. I would have never gone D1 in this day and age. Two-star recruit out of St. Louis, but there's no way I would have gotten a D1 offer. I would have probably been FCS or D2. It feels like high school recruits have been absolutely slapped down by the way the transfer portal is going right now.
Well, the one pushback I would say, if I'm going to play devil's advocate there, is that there is a true meritocracy that's created, that if you go to a smaller school and perform, then the opportunity will be made available to you to go transfer elsewhere. For instance, the quarterback at Tulane decided to transfer after one great year to Duke for a really nice NIL deal. Mm-hmm. The running back at Tulane, another example, he ends up at Oregon because he had a great year last year. So if you go and perform, they will find you. A guy named Fluff Bothwell is transferred to Mississippi State. He started his career at South Alabama. Gio Lopez is a guy that started at South Alabama. He ended up at North Carolina. I mean, so if you go and perform at a lower level, then, hey, they will find you. That's great. But then that makes things very difficult for the lower level schools, because they're developing and investing in talent, and they don't have ridiculous resources. They're investing in talent, and that talent, at the first opportunity to go up, they go up. So it's bad for the smaller schools. So I think any way that we can incentivize high school recruiting is extremely beneficial, but I also don't know how easy that can be done with the portal windows existing the way they exist right now in December and in May.
Final thing for Greg McElroy. Appreciate you carving out some time, Greg, but how do you feel? Because I think this is one of the biggest disagreements we're having, whether it's the federal level or presidents of schools or ADs. How do you feel about the employee-employer relationship versus antitrust exemptions? How do you feel that that should work itself out by the time we, you know, potentially get a hold on these things?
Well, as a player, I would not want to be an employee. I don't think that's I mean, I just think right now your earning potential is uncapped. You can do what you want. I mean, there's so much freedom. It's not the real world at all. I mean, in the real world, there's actual marketplace. In college football, there's no transparency whatsoever. So there's nothing. I would not want it to be an employee. I'd want to earn as much as possible. But I do think from the school's perspective, it'd be beneficial if there was some employee protections. That could calm things down from a transfer standpoint. There could be some buyout clauses that are now in contracts. You could have non-competes. Like, there could be aspects of it that could be beneficial. So I can see it both ways. To be honest with you, I don't think there is a right answer.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I think there are things that we can do within the framework of the sport from a calendar standpoint, from an incentivizing graduation standpoint, with finding a way to make all NIL contracts universal and transparent. I think all of that can be beneficial. But as far as I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not going to try to right. sit here and pretend that I am. I know that there are a lot of benefits towards the players becoming employees, but I also think that at the end of the day, there's going to be some devil in the details as well. So I think keeping it as is, but changing the structure surrounding college football would be more beneficial than declaring employees versus non-employees when it comes to the players.
Mm-hmm. Now, final thing, for those that don't know, Greg will be in Memphis coming up on Monday for the Memphis Touchdown Club. Go get your tickets at memphistdclub.com. When you get to Memphis, is there any food spots you have to, is there any musts? You've been in Memphis before. Is there any musts that you have to hit while you're in the city of Memphis?
Well, as a Southern guy, man, like I feel like I live in Birmingham, so I feel like I have great barbecue, but the
sure.
Memphis barbecue just hits different. You know what I mean? So I always rock and roll and try to get as much barbecue as I can when I'm in town. I just love coming to Memphis. It's one of my favorite places to come and visit. And what I love so much about it is that it's just a melting pot
yep.
of college football. And like, you go to other places, if I'm going to Georgia, if I'm in Atlanta doing some speaking, like I'm talking Bulldogs, you know, if I'm in Nashville, we're talking Tennessee. If I'm in New Orleans, we're talking LSU. And if I'm in Birmingham, we're talking Alabama or Auburn. When I'm in Memphis, I could get questions about Toledo. I could get questions about Arkansas, or I could get questions about TCU. I mean, it's just a
yeah.
really a cool place when it comes to the amount of fans and the amount of different flags that fly when people are supporting their university. So I love that part of it, and I always love coming to speak to the Touchdown Club, developed some great relationships there over the years, and look forward to getting back there on Monday.
And you'll get questions about the University of Memphis, 21-5, my alma mater the last 2 years. What do you think about my Tigers?
No, I think it's great. I mean, I think they're – I don't understand why they're not in the Big 12 yet.
Yeah,
I want them
yeah.
to be in the Big 12. You know,
maybe ACC's on the way. We'll see. I don't know. I'm sure you're going to have to field questions about that. You field them just about every time you come into town.
Yeah, well, I feel like Memphis is a great place, and I feel like it's a great university, and I think the alterations that they're making to the Liberty Bowl are amazing. I couldn't be more excited about that project and what that could mean for the future for Memphis football and what it means for the Liberty Bowl and how important that's going to be as well. So I think all the steps are and all the things are moving in the right direction. Now it's just about getting that opportunity. And if there's one thing we've learned in recent years with TCU's emergence and with UCF and Cincinnati yep. getting invites to the P5, you just win, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.